Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to Fantasy Team Advice's podcast number 21. I am your host, David Feld, and tonight we are once again joined by our special guest and friend of the website, Brandon Niles. Once again, Brandon writes for twoguyspodcast.com. That's number twoguyspodcast.com. I'm sorry, that's his podcast site, and writes for 4for4.com as well. His Twitter handle is at Two Guys Brandon. Welcome back, Brandon. Are you there?
I am, David. Thank you very much for having me back. Are you staying warm? I know you're in New York.
No, I'm not actually, but I'm very happy that we avoided most of the snow. You know, didn't believe the weatherman. Everybody was gloom and doom and battening down the hatches and calling off work and school and everything else. And as usual, it turned out we basically had lunch outside. So we avoided the majority of the snow, but it's cold. It's in the low 20s here. So how are you?
Well, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. I'm over here in Portland, Oregon. We've had really warm weather for the last few days, so I've been on the golf course, so I'm pleased.
I've been to Portland a couple times actually, and I used to do retail real estate for a living, and I love it out there. And my sister-in-law's sister lives out there as well, so it's pretty cool. I haven't been out there in many years, but I like this gorgeous country. So you're lucky, and I know the weather, and I'm jealous of the golfing.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's jump right in here. It looks like yet again the New England Patriots are accused of cheating, and if convicted this time, it will be their second conviction, along with a long list of claimants who insist that there is a culture of cheating within the Patriots' state of mind, starting with the videotaping nonsense. I guess as far back as maybe their first Super Bowl, because I think maybe it sounds a little bit like. Oh, what's his name? Oh, my God, I can't forget it. Three-time NFL MVP quarterback for the St. Louis Rams. Help me.
Kurt Warner?
There you go. Oh, my God, how could I forget that name? Anyway, it seems like Kurt Warner is, and wasn't the only one on that team who has not recently. He's been the most recent, but there are others who've claimed that they knew the Patriots seemed to know it was coming. And there was only one way they could, I know it's an allegation, but it still smells. And then there was the proof that it actually happened with the Eric Mangini Jets at the time. So, this is an alleged culture of cheating. That's an accusation that's being thrown at them. And I'd really like to hear your thoughts. I'm pretty passionate about it myself, so I'm going to let you riff for as long as you want on this. But what do you think the league will do? And what do you think they should do? And even is there a culture of cheating on the Patriots? Just an opinion.
Sure.
What do you
yes.
think?
So my opinion is going to be very different than what I think the league is actually going to do. So I don't believe the league is going to be able to pinpoint blame to the point where they'll be able to come out and put forth the extreme discipline that I think is warranted in this case. And as you can see, the Patriots team are already trying to I'm speaking off the cuff, but trying to throw somebody under the bus right now as it is. They're talking about equipment guys, a locker room manager, these low-level employees that apparently took it upon themselves to do this. So this is already starting to stink a little bit about, these low-level scapegoats. So the league will probably do something. I'm not sure what they'll end up doing, but I think they absolutely should suspend Bill Belichick for a season, for an entire year, and take away draft picks. When they did the original Spygate situation, they did take away draft picks, but they pretty much just kind of did a slap on the hand with a fine. They didn't suspend the coach. And, Bill Belichick can say all he wants that he's not involved in this, and maybe he's not, but he's the head coach. And that's what that's what we look to the head coach for. We look at the head coach and we say, this happened on your watch. This is your responsibility. So I think this is a really serious issue. I think it's a big deal because it affects the integrity of the game in a way that I don't think the other problems the NFL has had affects it. You know, that's not to say morally that what the Patriots are doing is worse than what we see from, you know, the Ray Rices and the Bounty Gate and things like that. But I do think it compromises what we see on the field and the authenticity of the NFL in a way that those other off-field distractions don't. And that's why I think the league should and needs to do something. And the Patriots absolutely have a culture of cheating and a smugness about it. When they talk about it, you know, Robert Kraft, the owner, comes out today and he comes out and he says that he's expecting an apology. Like, why should we apologize to you, Robert Kraft, because you cheated? So I think there's a culture there, and I think not only is there a culture there, but I think they don't care that there's a culture there, and they think they're kind of above it, and I hope the NFL drops the hammer for it.
I you said what I said. Now, let's get to what I think the fine should be. I think both of those guys should be suspended, starting effective immediately for 13 months. They can't play in this Super Bowl, and if by some miracle, without those two, they make the next one, they can't play in that one either. And The mere notion of having an equipment guy fall on his sword for this is almost it is insulting for those of us who, you know, whether we love football for whatever the reason, we love football, whether we played it as kids or played it through high school, college, maybe some people out there listening are former professional players or what have you. There's an extreme intense passion about American football here that, you know, it provides us with this incredible distraction of things that we can, you know, something that we can love, that we can do, that we're not ashamed of, that we could run a fantasy league with our kid or our mom, even if we wanted to. And, you know, these things though, and even if you do a bad job or embarrass yourself with a horrible fantasy football season of six seasons in a row, like I have in one league, basically, you know, it doesn't show up on YouTube. And, you know, or it doesn't show up on Facebook or something, you don't get fired. You know, these are things that we look to football for a lot of different kinds of entertainment. And that the mere notion that, you know, the smugness is unbelievable. Tom Brady actually said at the press conference following that game, I think it was maybe a Tuesday press conference, Wednesday press conference. I don't remember exactly the words, but I do remember the exact words that came out of his mouth. I have no knowledge of anything. Really, Tom, where were your car keys? Or no knowledge of anything? You mean the most prepared guy, the most detail-oriented guy, the person that everybody looks to as the most super professional football genius maybe of all time, who's involved with every last detail, studies his behind off. You're saying that you don't have any knowledge of anything, meaning that you have no knowledge of any change in the condition of the equipment you were using in the game, whether it's 2 ounces of deflation or 1 pound of deflation or whatever it is. You can't tell the difference in that football, particularly so that you spend so much time throwing them on the sidelines when you've thrown a couple interceptions in the first half against Baltimore or something. So it's not like he doesn't know what's going on. It's preposterous to even think that. And, you know, Bill Belichick, his demeanor at the press conferences is what it is. I understand. We've been hearing that for so long. We've become used to it. So, you know, ridiculous questions get him going sometimes. He can respond in what seemingly is an insulting, down-talking way. I don't think it's necessarily insulting. I think that some of the down-talking is okay because some of the questions are, you know, legitimately horrible and, you know, are a waste of everybody's time kind of thing. I'm of the opinion that the penalty should be incredibly harsh. The commissioner's got the opportunity here to get out in front of it. When you go back, even, you know, this season, earlier in the season, we had to deal with Ray. You know, we dealt with the bungling of the Ray Rice thing first, then the subsequent, you know, ban of 4 games. Oh, you know, everybody freaked out. He found it out and was able to suspend him indefinitely, which was supposed to be what it was done in the first place. So he was able to get a reasonable handle on that, started to, you know, trust him a little bit again, or his behavior with respect to these situations became, you know, a little more understandable and less you know, less controversial from a fan's perspective or from a critic's perspective. The Adrian Peterson thing almost got out of hand, but he didn't let it. Again, became an indefinite suspension. Nobody really wants him. The rhetoric became more, this is the kind of behavior we're not going to tolerate. Now when it comes to the Super Bowl, you're charging $3 million for a minute commercial, whatever the number is, some record, $1.5 million or a couple billion dollars for 30 seconds, $4 million for a minute. I don't even know what the exact number is, but it's gigantic. And I don't know how much of that money pressure is on for whatever they're going to do for this game. But I would imagine if it was a DUI for, a special teams player, or if it was a domestic battery, ridiculous nonsense from, you know, from a low level player, what would that player be playing this weekend is the question. And if the answer to that is no, they would not be playing, they would be suspended. Why is that any different or any necessarily worse than cheating? So that's what, you know, I'm pretty hot about it. So, and I don't think the league has the balls to do this, but I think the suspension, I agree with you. And I think there's a lot of us out there who do, that the suspension should be harsh and it should be real soon. But the, you know, I don't think they're gonna. I really don't. I think that they're worried about the money and they're worried about a lot of other things. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brandon.
Oh yeah. I was just gonna say, I really think there's the two camps. There's the Patriot apologists, and then there's everyone else. The Patriot apologists come out and they discuss that it's not a big deal and it didn't really affect the game and it's not really anything and we're all just haters. And then everybody else says, this, you guys cheated. This is a big deal. And I gotta go back to the Tom Brady press conference. So when you listen to people, these celebrities and people who stand up and they deny allegations, you can tell when they talk. Because if he didn't have anything to do with this, then he would come up and he'd say, this is preposterous. I didn't have anything to do with that. Maybe it felt a little light to me, but I just assumed it was fine. You know, he just said something like that. He wouldn't have said, I have no knowledge. It reminds me of the Anthony Weiner press conference. Do you remember that?
No, I'm sorry.
So Congressman Anthony Weiner, he was, I think he was a New York congressman. And he comes out and he was the allegations about having an inappropriate relationship over social media and sending out pictures of, you know.
I remember
him,
that. That wasn't,
you know,
that long ago. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So it reminds me. So when the allegations came out, I went, well, that's weird. That can't be true. And then he came out and they said, is that your thing? And he goes, I cannot confirm or deny. And I went, oh, he did it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
To
be fair, Brandon, once you circle the lawyers, though, like once something happens like that, and, you know, and news travels so fast, and you do have to kind of get out in front of it because it's you know, everything we say is everywhere. If you're any kind of public anything, whether you write a two-word reply on a Yahoo article or whether you have, you know, whether you're out there up front at the very top of the heap, when something, you know, when you hit a bump in the road and something looks like it has the possibility to be a thing, you know, sometimes, you'll talk to somebody and say, what do I do now? And say, well, it seems pretty whatever. And then all of a sudden the lawyers get called in, or your counsel gets called in, whether it's a lawyer or not. Your counsel gets called in, your PR people get called in, or what have you, and say nothing until we find out more. You can't confirm or deny. I think that's kind of normal. My knee-jerk reaction is not necessarily he did it. In Weiner's case, it seemed different. I do remember that now. In Weiner's case, it seemed a little bit different because it just smelled like this one. It smelled just like this.
Yeah.
You got that looking up to the left thing going on. I can't confirm or deny. I don't know. I don't recall. I don't, you know, all that stuff. You know, it's you're right about that. It smells. You know, the accusation along with the can't confirm or deny thing does kind of lead us towards up. Oh, they did it kind of thing. But, you know, in Weiner's case, I was almost willing to be a little bit okay. And then I started putting two and two together. I'm like, okay, my government, a U.S. congressman, a sex scandal. I'm like, okay, this doesn't add up, and I'm right on the Brandon wagon on this one. He did it. You know, I was there pretty quick, but it took me a few days. In Tom Brady's case, it was immediate. It was like, I cannot believe he said that, and I was just shocked.
It's ridiculous. To see him go up and talk like that, if you don't do it, you have a different demeanor than just this, you know, nonchalant, I don't know anything, I'm aloof, how dare you ask me these questions kind of thing. So, and no, you're absolutely right.
I'm telling you, they shouldn't be playing in this game. I'm sorry. And, you know, if the Patriots end up winning this game, it's an asterisk game. And I you know, for Patriot fans, there are the Patriot apologists. Of course there are. You know, oh, he's they may be cheating, but he's our cheater and we love him kind of thing. And I, you know, you have to figure it out with Tom. I mean, you have to understand with Tom Brady, there isn't a female or most men anyway from the ages of 8 to 81 in all of New England who don't think he's the absolute greatest thing. So
sure.
There's going to be a large number of people who are immediately, oh, we don't care. Well, we'll forgive him. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We'll forgive him, whatever. But there's a lot of Patriot fans, and I've been, you know, not only on their own fan blog site and you know, articles that I've read and people that I've heard being talked to, whether it's on news or what have you, or Twitter going back and forth, they're basically done with football. I mean, there's not a lot of them, but there are some. And, you know, you'd asked me that a couple years ago or however long ago it was, I would have told you football can survive whatever. And, you know, but there are actually, you know, there's actually Patriot fans who are just done with it. They're like, you know, this is like the third time now and I can't handle it anymore. And I'm just, you know, I'm sick and tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for something different. But and this is Super Bowl week and this is what we're talking about. We're not even talking about the game. It's craziness.
Yeah, and you know what? I realize I'm not a Patriots fan. It's easy for me to say this, but I can honestly say if this was my team, I would want them to fire the coach. I mean, that's what I would want them to do immediately after all the things that happen right now. And I think that they could make a lot of this go away if they just did that. If Robert Kraft, and obviously they're not going to do it. Bill Belichick is the most accomplished coach of this generation. But that, to me, is the answer to this riddle. You know, you've got what do you do with a team with a cheating culture and the smugness and this problem. To me, you get rid of the coach and you change the culture. And I understand it's Super Bowl week, but like you just said, it's really easy to cut your backup special teams player when they, you know, beat their wife. But when it's your star quarterback, when it's your star running back, that's when we find out, are you really going to do the thing that shows integrity, or are you just doing, or are you going to make excuses?
They're going to make excuses and take the money. That's what they're going to do, and it's obvious that's what they're doing. I mean, if we're throwing up videotapes of an equipment guy taking 23 footballs into the bathroom or whatever, it's like, I have no idea where that came from, but it's out there. If that's what we've got and that's what they're doing, then it's obvious where, you know, it's obvious that they're going with the self-interest here. You know, in all fairness, even though it wouldn't happen, I would love to see a trial at halftime instead of some lame, worthless celebrity doing their thing karaoke style. So
I just want the non-disclosure agreement that equipment, that poor equipment kid is going to have to sign attached to the check that he's going to get. That's what I want. I want Arnold Schwarzenegger to come out on midfield and read that non-disclosure agreement. That I would pay. I would watch just that. That would be
me too.
Fantastic.
Yeah, me too. Like, I was really psyched for the Super Bowl. I'm a Jet fan, and I can admire the page. I've always been in awe. I mean, Bill Belichick was my coach for 6 hours, and I could really get behind the Patriots. I love that guy. I used to follow him heavily with the Giants. Half the people I love in my life are Giant fans, and he was a defensive coordinator who gets, you know, the most accolades for the Super Bowl wins, more so than Bill Parcells does, if you can imagine some of the people that I know. So talking like that, and you know, this was a guy that I would love to have been coaching my football team, but wasn't. We got Curtis Martin out of the deal, so okay, whatever. And you know, I was, but from afar, I'm an admirer. I'm not necessarily a hater, even though most Jet fans I know can't stand that team and are wishing them the worst on a fairly regular basis. And I'm not one of those guys. I can, you know, they've played real good football at a really high level for a really long time, and it's sometimes it is really something to behold. And so, you know, it's just, man, I'm telling you, this time I was looking forward to rooting for the Patriots against the Seahawks, who, you know, I kind of a little bit, not, I wouldn't say don't like, but some of the attitude sometimes rubs me, and Pete Carroll rubs me the wrong way. Again, he was also a former Jet coach, so I have a thing there. It's nothing with Seattle personally. It's just, and we'll get to another Seattle player in a minute, but it's a thing there. Now, I'm rooting against the Patriots. You know, as soon as this came out, my heart changed. I'm rooting against the Patriots, and I don't even think that the quarterback and the coach should be allowed to participate. Which, you know, that's just what I've got on that. I could go on for hours, but I'd like to talk a little bit about the game and give you, you know, just a tiny little window into the Super Bowl breakdown. A couple weeks back, Robert Boom Heron had a pretty good day, and I think that another rookie, Zerlin Tipton, had a pretty decent, you know, was pretty effective running the football against the Patriots in the Deflategate game, even though I can't stand that word, and the things like the New England Deflategates, but whatever. And also the Indianapolis coaches, the Indianapolis Colts have also just released their running backs coach. And, you know, on top of having to deal with the unbelievably wildly horrible blunder of trading a first-round pick for Trent Richardson, and with the success of those two rookie running backs, one of them that, you know, half a year ago no one wanted, they ran all over the Patriots in the championship game. How does this bode for the Super Bowl, and how much damage will the Seahawks running game do to the to that porous pop gun Patriot rushing defense?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So the Patriots, you know, they were, you know, a borderline decent run defense during the season. So it surprises me that they struggled so much. You know, Baltimore was able to run pretty well against them. Boom Heron, like you said, played pretty well. Marshawn Lynch is running hard. He's running great. He's at 216 yards in the playoffs this so far this postseason. He's averaging over 100 yards per game. That's pretty impressive to walk into a Super Bowl coming off this kind of a postseason when you've already got the reputation of being the key cog in that Seattle offense. So what Lynch has really proven and what the Seattle Seahawks have proven is even though you know he's coming, you still can't stop Marshawn Lynch. So I think it's absolutely a problem for the New England Patriots. And what Seattle's going to try to do is they're going to try to control the clock and keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands by running the ball with Marshawn Lynch. So that's going to be a key component. The other big thing I'm looking at in the Super Bowl is how well can those Seattle Seahawks safeties and linebackers line up on Rob Gronkowski? And are we going to see Richard Sherman or Byron Maxwell, one of those big physical corners? Are we going to see them lining up on Rob Gronkowski? Because he's that X factor on the New England side. And maybe the only thing, if I'm the Seattle defense, that really scares me is letting Rob Gronkowski dictate how that offense moves the ball. So you're right. All this stuff is overshadowing what should be facing up to be a really, really entertaining, really good Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think the Seattle secondary is good enough where they don't have to commit number one to cover Rob Gronkowski. I don't know if Richard Sherman has the girth. I mean, I know he has the skill, obviously, and the smarts to do it, but I'm not sure he's physically up to the task to cover a monster like that. I think they rotate a couple guys over there to deal with him, kind of like what Pittsburgh did with Jimmy Graham during this season. And that, you know, it's sort of like that. I'm not saying that that's what it's going to be, but sort of like that. And let Sherman line up where, you know, whoever they think is he's best suited to be on it for a particular play on what the propensity is for the person he's covering getting the ball, whether it's Julian Edelman or Brandon LaFell. I think that the Patriots are going to find the going for the passing game a little bit tough here. But I think they have the opportunity to run the ball. You know, the Patriots do. And the line seems to have been playing better, even though the defense that they faced in Indianapolis was, I don't know, non-existent. But you know, I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to stop Marshawn Lynch. And we talk about controlling the football, you know, vis-a-vis the run. Let's not forget half that run game, or almost half that run game anyway. And plus, he's playing as well as any player in football right now is Russell Wilson, who that was my confession, is that Russell Wilson is, for the past 6 weeks, you could make the case not only was he the best fantasy player in football, he may be the best guy in the game right now for over the past 6 weeks. What are your thoughts on that?
Outside of the NFC Championship game where he played horrible until the last three drives, but but you're absolutely right.
No.
He's been phenomenal, and it's that dual threat aspect of it. You know, the fact that he runs, you know, he ran for almost 850 yards and six touchdowns this season. And then in the playoffs, that's been the same thing. But he does. He keeps his head down, or he keeps his eyes downfield. He continues to try to make plays in the passing game while remaining a threat to run the ball. So, you know, he set career highs in passing yards this year. He threw 20 touchdown passes, only seven picks. He's getting better as a passer. I, you know, while he struggled a lot against Green Bay. He, you know, ultimately that magic showed up. He was able to pull out what I think was one of the most improbable victories I've seen in the playoffs in a long time. So you're right. He's an exciting, fun, very, very talented player to watch, and the dual threat aspect makes him an elite fantasy quarterback and should do that in the Super Bowl. I imagine we'll see more what we saw against the Panthers, where he threw 268 and three touchdowns, than what we saw against Green Bay, where he threw four picks.
You know, the four picks, man, I'm only laying 1.5 of those on him. I am not I think that those first two, one of them couldn't have been a better thrown ball. The guy would have had a better chance of catching it if he pulled his jersey out and made enough room for the ball to fit down there instead of trying to get it with his hands and wound up tipping it up in the air and having it get picked off. And the other one was on the guy's hand. He tried, you know, he at least got one good hand on it. It looked like he was bringing the other one around to try and corral it. And that ball got picked off there too, like in similar fashion. And one of them was definitely his thing. I'm not going to necessarily always blame the receiver for going the wrong way, but that, you know, that one of them was definitely his, and the other one was one that got out of control. Was a little bit behind the guy. He reached back for it and tried to haul it in, and it got picked off instead. It was kind of like halfway jumping the route and halfway the ball bouncing into his hand. So I'm not gonna stick that on him, particularly when his best guy is, you know, if they ever got him anybody even close to what Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Joe Flacco, whoever was in the playoffs this year, if they even had anything, Kelvin Benjamin, anything close to as good as that, I think he would be off the charts. We'd be talking about him as much as we talk about Andrew Luck as far as who to take first in a dynasty league at your quarterback spot. I think that
he's
got it.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
I think he's got it going on at such a high level. It's crazy.
I always try to bring that up when I talk to people.
A friend of mine busts my balls by saying that I have man love for Russell Wilson the way Beavis and Butthead had for that, you know, for that guy Todd who used to come driving around in his car. He was like the local, like, tough guy. And every time Todd walked by, you know, drove up with his car or ran them over or something, there would be, like, the hearts popping out all over the place, the heart bubbles popping out all over the place. My friend gives me a hard time because he can't stop talking to Russell Wilson like the way Beavis and Butthead talk about Todd. So, well, I think it's pretty funny. And not that anybody else would understand the joke. I hope kind of you get it. It's a little obscure and out there, but it's I'm serious. I'm watching. I think we're watching a guy who's emerging into the next quote unquote one of those guys.
Well, it's impressive to see him getting better. And you're absolutely right. He doesn't have the targets. And I'm a product of the '90s, so feel free. Any '90s references should be just fine for me.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I don't know. My favorite band is still Alice in Chains. What am I going to do? So.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, my friend. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm telling you. I'm watching. I think we are. I think we're watching one of the best players in the league emerging here. And I have about 90 seconds left. I'd like you to tell us, what do you got coming up article wise? When's your next podcast for the two guys?
So actually, you know, we talked a lot about the Deflategate stuff in our recent podcast. We put one up every Sunday, so we did our Super Bowl preview. We're actually gearing up for an Oscars podcast. We both love movies, so we're trying to figure out how we're going to get sports in there, but I'm sure we'll come up with something. And we just recently did another kind of fun one where we ranked our top 10 fictional sports players. So you can find that at twoguyspodcast.com, or you can find us on iDitcher, anywhere you look for your podcast. And then 4for4.com, you can always find me on the Discuss Your Team forum. This is for the members come along. They ask questions about keepers, anything that's going on this time of year, and I always like to engage with the members doing that. The next time I start writing articles will probably be around draft time in late April. Probably start looking at who's going to show up in the 2015 NFL draft.
Well, yeah, that's what we're going to get. I'm going to get started on something like that right after the Super Bowl as well. That's for you out there. Once again, that's Brandon Niles, and he is writing for 4for4.com. He has his own podcast at the number 2guyspodcast.com. And Brandon, as usual, it was a tremendous pleasure having you. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks so much, David. Anytime.
Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.